I love my church. Do you love your church? I love Quirky Claire. I love Raquel having her first. What a great job she did. Spoke from the heart. I love our multicultures. I love that we've added a new one. Good to have Reese and Danny in church. They are in church, it's just they're normally at Wellard. We've got another campus down at Wellard that is thriving. And that's good, hey? And I just have a real sense, you know, if Pastor Phil's just spoken, you know, so good. If you can make Tuesday night in 2 weeks' time, please make it to C3 Hepburn Heights. If you need a lift, let's carpool together, whatever we need to do, and let's have a great time as C3 Fremantle up at C3 Hepburn Heights together. Sound good? Okay, so thank you, Lord. I'm really excited about this morning and just really feeling quite empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit about this year and our year of freedom. Who knows that you can get, even if you're feeling free, you can be freer. And so I think that's a really important thing for us. Before I go there, let me just quickly share about Jonathan and Sheila Acharium and their lovely family. I shared this last week at Wellard Campus and thought, where we all know, most of us know Jonathan and Sheila, and Sheila resigned as campus pastor late last year. And the main reasons for this decision were Jonathan is away a lot. Sheila has three boys who need her attention, and Sheila has a desire, has done nothing wrong, but simply cannot deliver on what is required as campus pastor when she has family responsibilities, three boys all in primary school, the list goes on. Jonathan's not around a lot of the time. And so her and I have been talking about, can you keep going like this? I know you've got the desire. I know you want to do it. And in the end, we came to the conclusion that it was best for her to look after her boys, her husband, who's away a lot. And we hope both Barry, Pastor Barry and Michelle and myself have been in contact with Jonathan and Sheila, who've just come back from leave last week, and we hope to see them in church in a few weeks' time. So that's where that's at, for those of you who are wondering. And for those of you who may not know, Pastor Barry and Michelle are the campus pastors for C3 Wellard. And so that's happened. That's why you do not see them all the time here now. This happened quite late, just before Christmas last year, and so it was kind of like a bit of a mad rush to, okay, what are we going to do? And I looked at Barry, and he looked at me, and I says, you're the man. And so that was that. And he's doing a splendid job, as are all our pastors. Pastor Emma, great job. Oh, a great connect group I heard already last night. Great youth team. Great development of leaders under Danny and Reese. So good. Come with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. Actually, why don't we stand to our feet? I think this is really important because this is our key scripture for the year. We'll read it together. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Awesome. I really believe that Jesus did not read this text because it was the day's reading. And given the size of the Isaiah scroll, which was 734 centimetres high and is comprised of 54 columns, it is likely Jesus took some time to find exactly what he was looking for from the book of Isaiah. For Isaiah, the proclamation of release to the captives is not a prediction of the future. It is an announcement that the Babylonian exile is about to end. For Jesus, who's glad that Jesus has come onto the scene? For Jesus, reading half a millennium later, Isaiah is speaking about Jesus's mission. Who really loves the richness of the Word of God? What an amazing thing. And so here in Luke 4, 18 and 19, it tells us how Jesus has come to bring freedom. Why did Jesus come into the world? To bring freedom. Why did Jesus come to us in human form and live with us for 30 years? To demonstrate his freedom. Why did Jesus die on the cross for us and suffer such a brutal death? To set you and I free. Why did Jesus rise from the dead on the third day? To show us the reality of his freedom. Why did Jesus show himself to disciples after his resurrection? To prove the reality of his freedom. He said to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. What an amazing thing that Jesus said over and over again while he was with us on earth. Jesus said to Martha and followed it up, he who believes in me. Does anyone believe in me here this morning? Yeah. Not me, Jesus. Anyone believe in Jesus here this morning? Yeah. Anyone really glad that Jesus is in their life? Yeah. You see, this is anyone who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus was not only speaking about the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus is in a tomb. He's been there for 4 days. It was starting to get a little bit rotten for him. The people were saying, if only if you'd come here earlier, this would not, you would have done something. I'm sure he wouldn't be dead right now. And Jesus was trying to get out all the negativity and all the, oh, he's dead, it's too late. Because who knows that with Jesus, nothing is ever too late. And then you may come to the Lord at 89 years old or 100 years old, but it's not too late because you get to be the blessed the same as someone who's been a Christian their entire lives. It's the presence and power of God that is going to change you and bring freedom into your life. And so Jesus is here with Lazarus and he's trying to push away all the negative thoughts. Who knows when someone's dead 4 days that you're going to feel pretty negative. This wasn't just, I just died and they put the heart thumpers on in the, I don't know what they're called. What are they called, Josh, those things? Those defibrillator. That's it, the defibrillator. This was 4 days later. Who knows that that's not going to work? they wouldn't have had them back then, that's right. So true. You see, Jesus wasn't just speaking about Lazarus, but the freedom in knowing that those who believe in Jesus shall never die. Again, the richness of the Word of God, there's a dual purpose in what he's saying. And Jesus said, take that boulder away. And they go, are you sure you want to do that? It's going to stink. Just do as you said, you know, just do as I say. They moved the boulder away. Come out. And he came out and he still had his grave clothes on. And he still had all the things that he was sort of like, you know, one of those mummies walking. But the thing is, Jesus said an incredible 2 words, loose him. Loose him. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, when you have the testimony of Jesus walking with you in your heart, you are going to feel the loosing and the freeing of his power on your life. Jesus was declaring his mission to the world in that synagogue on that day. It was no accident that he read from the scroll of Isaiah, that what God had prophesied through Isaiah around 700 BC was now totally appropriate in the reality of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not just the poor by our standards, but the poor in spirit. He has sent me to heal the broken, to set the oppressed free. You matter to Jesus. His message is freedom. His mission is good news. His freedom for us has incredible outcomes. If you really believe in his freedom, you will actually act differently because you know his freedom. Is that true? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want us to get this scripture into our hearts this year. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And this verse is not primarily speaking of material deprivation, although that Jesus we know did help the poor on multiple occasions, and it's through scripture we should help the poor. But it's not particularly talking about this on this occasion. He's talking about it's a bit like Matthew 5 verse 3 in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word poor implies a hopelessness of spirit. Who's ever found that when they're really at the end of everything, they've tried everything, and then God does his thing? It means to have nothing to offer on one's own accord. It's the realization that on our own, we have nothing to offer God. That's sobering, isn't it? On our own, we have nothing to offer God. God is not dependent on us. Rather, we are dependent on him. The late Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, he said this about this verse: you're blessed when you are at the end of your rope. And so our freedom means that we develop in a couple of areas. Let me give you the first one: a positive disposition. A positive disposition. Say it with me. You and I will develop a spirit of gratefulness rather than grumpiness because of who Jesus is in our life. We have to actually, if we love Jesus, there must be a change on the inside. There must be less of the grumps and more of the positive, because Jesus has a way through. Because Jesus has an answer for you. Because you might not see what he can see. And so when you actually engage your faith with him, then the answers will come. Otherwise, you're just like everyone else and there's no faith or power there. And you end up actually down in the dumps about everything. And that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to have good news on our lips. And so I've thought, well, we'd help this year. And this is one of the areas that... So if you have your telephones, your what is it called? Telephones. I did it again. The mobile phone. Grab your mobile phone. Please open it. Who's got Instagram or Facebook? Give me a wave. Most of you. Who's got... Get your phones out. Who's following? If you're not, I just want you to follow C3 Fremantle. C3 what? Fremantle. Start following. So what if you scroll there, pass me, where's my phone? In there, Gabriel, yeah. In the second pocket. Let's have a look. So I want to show you. Thanks. All right. So who's got Instagram up? Some of you got Instagram up? Okay, we're doing devotions online every day. So Pastor Nigel, that's me. Every day I've put up a, Claire's doing it for me. We're putting up a Instagram story. And so if you go on Instagram, up the top, there's circles. Has everyone got the Insta stories up the top? Everyone understands what I'm saying? So if you go to the top there, all the young people, they know. Because they use it all the time. And up the top there, and if you scroll across, you'll see C3 Fremantle or follow C3 Fremantle. Then click on C3 Fremantle, and there's the devotion for today. And it says, what does it say? Because I've already listened to mine, watched mine, so it'll be right at the back. Who's got it up? Who's got it up? Yeah. It's on the screen, but I can't read it. Give me your phone, Amber. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Tap the circle. C3 Fremantle, tap the circle. All right, so today is verse 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it goes to the next page. Just hold it there for those of you who are my age and didn't understand this. You can actually put your thumb on it or your finger on it and you can stop it so you can read it so it doesn't keep scrolling. I learned something. And it says, this is the devotion for today. So that every day we can actually have the same devotion. Who thinks this is a good idea? Who needs help? Some people need help. All right, so we will help you. Have you got mates that can help you? In church, we should have mates that can help us, right? Let's hope so. If not, see Amber and Jared, okay? And we can do this together. And here's today's. Jesus is speaking about the benefits of the kingdom of God. Jesus is referring to the constitution written by Moses for the Israelites. And I've put in brackets there in case you want to look it up, Leviticus 25. Every 50 years, once in a lifetime, whatever anybody owed to anybody else was cancelled. And all slaves were to be set free. That's a good day. Jesus allows for us to start over. He has pushed the refresh button. I thought I'd get modern. On our behalf, he is our jubilee, our way to freedom. Thank you, Amber. Good devotion. So one of those every day, so we can all follow along, both Fremantle and Wellard, on the same. Who thinks that's pretty cool? All right, so that's, and it's on Facebook as well. So if you can see Claire, if you need to get onto Facebook and work that one out. All right. I quite like watching documentaries. Is anyone a documentary lover? Quite a few of us. You know, especially I really like ones about wild animals. I don't know why. Maybe because my mum was a science teacher and she had all these unusual things in her classroom. And all the kids wanted to go into her class because she had all these crazy animals. Anyway, on one such documentary that I happen to be watching, I like diving, like some of the people in our church here today, scuba diving. And a shark was entangled in a fishing net and was unable to feed as its mouth was caught in the netting. And a diver happened to see the shark, and rather than abandon the shark because the operation was dangerous, because he was putting his own life in danger, he determined to rescue it. The rescue took some time. And eventually, only the mouth was covered. So he got the netting away from around the shark. And the diver realized that there was a hook also stuck in the shark's mouth. And the shark at this stage, you can imagine, was thrashing around wildly. And while the diver did its best and eventually got the hook out of the shark's mouth, and then the remaining netting was free. And immediately the shark swam away from the diver. And just at the last moment, before it was out of sight, it just had a quick look and took off into the great blue deep. I want to say something really that we all know, but I want us to get this scripture like never before based on this. See, you and I were trapped. You and I were caught up in netting. You and I were hooked, but Jesus went on a rescue mission. It cost him everything and more. It was dangerous. And Jesus released the trappings of sin. Jesus took away the netting of shame. And we were once hooked, but now we are free. Can anyone give the Lord a hand this morning? We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our life. There was a woman caught in adultery, just in case you haven't quite got it yet. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees drag a woman to Jesus. She's been caught in the act of adultery. The punishment for adultery is to throw stones until they are no more. She was guilty. She had no defense at all. She had numerous accusers. And the normal punishment for the offense at that time was to stone her to death, as I've said. And what did Jesus do? He wrote in the dirt with his finger, "He who is without sin, throw the first stone." And slowly, all her accusers went away. There's no doubt she was hopeless. She was poor in spirit. She had nothing to offer the Lord at this point. And Jesus said, "Where are your accusers now? You have none. And neither do I accuse you. Your sins have been forgiven you." And that is what Jesus came to do for you and for me. He came to set you free. Free from wrongdoing. Who's glad about that? Who's glad that when they do something wrong, that there is someone that's got you? He's covered it. Free from guilt. Oh, by the way, that doesn't mean that you keep sinning and God's going to forgive you. It doesn't. I'm just saying that's not a way to freedom. That's actually a way to not freedom. Free from shame, free from condemnation. And this fact in itself, all these things that God has freed us from, should put us in a positive frame of mind. I'm so glad that I have Jesus. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about the person next to me, what they think of me. It doesn't really matter that much. I'm so glad I can lift my hands and worship God like I did this morning and feel the presence and power of God and the freeing nature of who He is on my life. See, our life is not so much about what we have or have not, as much as it is about being grateful for what He has sacrificed for us. Secondly, I expect I won't share any more except on this point. Share His freedom in church. Share His freedom where? In church. The first place that we share good news of our salvation is in His house. And Jesus has set the way for us. He has read the scroll of Isaiah and the good news of who He was to the people in the synagogue first. The word synagogue in the Greek means gather together. Quite appropriate. We're having a big feast next weekend. We're gathering together for a big feast. Who knows that's always fun? Who knows that God's not a party pooper? He loves a bit of fun. See, synagogue in the Greek term, which means gather together. Your spiritual environment is so important. And we want to be believing believers. I believe, I show I believe. I gather together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit, His resurrection life, flows down from the altar of God into our lives. There is no substitute for being in His house, worshiping and praising His name together. And so Jesus could have chosen the Rotary Club. He could have chosen the Scouts. He could have chosen the Football Club. But he chose to start his ministry in the house of God. He chose what? To start his ministry where? What did they do? It was a little old-fashioned to what we're used to here at Fremantle. But what did they do? They opened the scroll and they read the Word of God. Who knows that the only place that you're going to get that is with the house of God? Who knows that where the Word of God is read, there's bread of life? Who knows that as they prayed together, who were they praying to? Well, they were praying to the one true God. And so Jesus announced his ministry and his mission in the house of God. It's so important that we gather together in the house of God. And on that note, who knows, it's always a bit of fun because we have guest ministry at C3 Fremantle. And let's put up, we've got a few slides. We got Nicola Gibb coming. She's coming 2 weeks' time, actually. She's going to be fantastic. She's a fantastic, I was going to say vertically challenged lady. So for all those under 5 foot, she's, I don't know how tall she is, I'm just messing about. But she's a fantastic, I tell you what, she's going to be fantastic for us. She's coming for our team meeting. Who knows, our team meetings are always a lot of fun. And we gather together as volunteers and leaders and we enjoy that next bit of push for us to get through our year. Who knows that when we help each other get through our year, we can't do it alone. Steve and Deb White, our C3 overseers, they're coming and they're actually helping us open our officially opened C3 Wellard on the 31st of March. Now, we're doing this at 5 p.m. so that all Fremantle can join as well. Probably going to need more chairs, but we'll work that out later. You know, the Clancys are coming on Mother's Day. They're a fun couple. We haven't had them for quite a while. And he called me the other day, Brendan, and just said, hey, would love to have been. I said, that's a great idea. Come for Mother's Day. So we're going to have a combined service here at Fremantle, Wellard and Fremantle here in this place. So that's going to be a fun weekend. And then Father's Day, we're having a combined service as well with both campuses here. And I'm hoping we're going to have a great men's speaker for that. You know, I love hearing good news stories. Does anyone like hearing good news stories? You know, I still remember last year when Tanya Aldeg was up here and she was talking about the 90-day challenge and how she decided to do the tithe thing, 10% of her income. And she rocks up at the Bowser and she goes to pay the bill and someone's already paid for her fuel. And she said, I know that God is on my case. I know that God's got me and what I'm doing is going to bring power and authority into my financial world. So good what God does, hey, when we obey the word of God. So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when we come to church consistently, we become less affected by the world and its values, and we become free to worship him. My mum is almost 79. She attends C3 Hepburn Heights. My wife and I, and my 8-month-old son at the time, left there to come and plant this church 24 years ago. And late last year, mum was telling me this story, and I thought I'd share it with you. Because we don't have any grandkids yet, so I've got my mum. So I'll tell stories about her. Late last year, C3 Hepburn Heights had an awards night. And one of the awards was the most vibrant personality at C3 Hepburn Heights. 10 people were nominated for this award. And the names were put up on a screen. Now, my brother's name was mentioned. Now, my brother struggles to wear a shirt. He is the typical surfer image man. who works outdoors doing earth moving, has long hair, a lot longer than Phil Pringles at the moment, I noticed. But when he's on stage and he's worshiping God, he kind of gets a bit of a jigger when he's playing his guitar. Apparently he's just cool, according to the young people. And then my mum's name was also mentioned. 79 years old, and she is not agile as she used to be. And she doesn't have all that much in the way of material things. She lives in Andrea and my first home in Marangaroo, actually, north of the river. And she still mows her own lawn. Not bad after a complete knee reconstruction. And had a very serious... she was in hospital. She asked me to come to hospital in her 60s, and it was one of those really serious ones. And she just prayed, and we prayed, and God got her through that situation. People will tell you that she's one of the happiest people you'll ever meet. And Mum lost her husband 24 years ago, or a bit longer actually, and has been living on her own ever since. But despite all these things, Mum's happy. Who knows, when you get older, it's not good to be sweeter and happier than grumpier and nastier. Come on, we can learn a lesson here. And the only thing that makes sense of her good demeanor and is her relationship with Jesus. And Mum won the award for the most vibrant personality at C3 Hepburn Heights. How cool is that? Now, Mum will tell you that your attitude toward life is a very important thing. Mum will also tell you that not only attending church, but being involved in church, she has the biggest connect group still in C3 Hepburn Heights. She looks after all the more senior people. What a ministry. And she still smiles. Lord, I thank you for Mum. You know, we've got some other exciting things happening. Our story, our future. Let's pop our story, our future slide up. Let's put this one up. Who's glad that we have a building, a facility at C3 Wellard? Anyone? All those people that helped? Give us a wave. Thank you. All the people that helped with C3 Wellard, thank you for all your help. Well, we got an absolute, we couldn't not do it. Greg Moore, our board member, and myself went down there. We got the building for $350,000. Who knows, that's pretty good. We've since done a renovation, and I'm sure it's more than this, but the amount that we have tallied up that we've spent as a church is another $90,114. And interest this year on their part of the loan, the Wellard part, is around $23,400, which is $463,514. I've seen people come, three decisions last weekend, a new family that Mel invited to church. Who knows that I'm so grateful that we have a facility where people can invite people and not have to know where to go from when we first started. Oh, where are you meeting today? Oh, we're down in the dungeon at the East Fremantle Football Club. Where are you meeting today? Oh, we're upstairs in another room overlooking the football club. You know, it's so good to be able to actually have two facilities and see people actually living their best life and coming back to Him. And so that's why we haven't done as much here at C3 Fremantle as we would have liked. So let's put up the next slide. Our renovations continue this year at C3 Frio. Our building. We are planning on doing some more renovations. That we've actually got the tract in for the glass doors, and that's the next phase. And we want to do some more as well. You know, we have our story, our future in March, and I'm just trusting that we will be able to continue to see the vision of God and the progress made. You know, it says in Chronicles that it's God loves a magnificent, glorious, I think it's magnificent, glorious, and prosperous house. And so I'm looking forward to all that God does. You know, if you're not serving in church, let's get involved this year. Let's make it a part of who we are. Your life will flow, it will be at its peak because you share the good news with others in his house consistently, and you'll grow from the richness of the relationships at the same time. He says, Jesus says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. He has sent me to recover the sight of the blind. High on God's agenda is wanting to set people free. And so some of the things that we do as a church is our leap into spring. We're going to actually have some running water for our belief. We're going to do this later this year as we go up into Liberia, and we actually have part one completed, which is the washrooms and the kitchen facility, because they're still cooking on the floor. We have a trip to the Philippines. We also have Eric Harrison, who is like a C3 troubleshooter now. And he's coming to C3 Fremantle on our Leap into Spring Day here at Fremantle. So that's exciting. Something to look forward to as well. We'll keep in touch with those people about the Philippines trip. We should have that finalised in the next week or two. And thank you for those of you who would have already said that they'd like to go. So let me just wrap this up. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Amen? Some things we do will make us bound up and not free. If the music team could come, that'd be fantastic. See, we speak good news to people when we are free. And when you're not free, you and I tend to hide. And so I'd like us to be free. I'd like us this year to actually, some of those things that were hard for us to do, to allow God into those areas and say, Lord, I'm going to ask for your help. Can we stand to our feet, church, this morning? The Spirit of the Lord is upon. Proclaim good news. Set the captives free. Recovery of sight to the blind, the acceptable year of the Lord. And Father, today, why don't we raise our hands, church? And I want us to worship God before we finish here today. I'm going to ask the music team to lead us in a song. And we're going to exalt the name of Jesus. I'm going to come back, and if you have to go, because you have to go to work or whatever, please feel free to just exit the building. But otherwise, the service is going to continue for a few more moments. And I'd like to pray for some people before we finish this meeting. Lead us, please. Jared, come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.